From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns commenced a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he begins the sixth message in the series, bearing the title, Rahab, A Picture of Salvation by Grace Through Faith. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 11. Even thou wast as one of them. Brotherly kindness was due from Edom to Israel in the time of need. But instead thereof, the men of Esau made common cause with Israel's foes. Special stress in the sentence before us is laid upon the word thou. As when Caesar cried to Brutus, And thou, Brutus! A bad action may be all the worse because of the person who has committed it. When we sin, who are the chosen favorites of heaven, we sin with an emphasis. Ours is a crying offense because we are so peculiarly indulged. If an angel should lay his hand upon us when we are doing evil, he need not use any other rebuke than the question, What thou? What dost thou here? Much forgiven, much delivered, much instructed, much enriched, much blessed, shall we dare to put forth our hand unto evil? God forbid. A few minutes of confession may be beneficial this morning. Hast thou never been as the wicked? At an evening party, certain men laughed at uncleanness, and the joke was not altogether offensive to thine ear. Even thou wast as one of them. When hard things were spoken concerning the ways of God, thou wast bashfully silent. And so, to onlookers, thou wast as one of them. When worldlings were bartering in the market and driving hard bargains, wast thou not as one of them? When they were pursuing vanity with a hunter's foot, wert thou not as greedy for gain as they were? Could any difference be discerned between thee and them? Is there any difference? Here we come to close quarters. Be honest with thine own soul, and make sure that thou art a new creature in Christ Jesus. But when that is sure, walk jealously, lest any should be again able to say, Even thou wast as one of them. Thou wouldst not desire to share their eternal doom. Why then be like them here? Come not thou into their secret, lest thou come into their ruin. Side with the afflicted people of God, and not with the world.
Steadfast faith in God, assured and unashamed, the faith that moved the saints of old to face the sword and flame.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. After a personal meeting with Christ, the captain of the host of the Lord, Joshua set in motion the plans that would result in the overthrow of Jericho. As we've seen in the recent broadcasts, the first step was to send spies to evaluate the city's condition. In the course of their incursion, the spies were given refuge by Rahab, a heathen woman of immoral character. Yet, through the reports of Israel's various victories and the miracle of the nation's deliverance from Egypt, Rahab realized that the God of Israel was the true and living God. In the course of a message called Rahab, A Picture of Salvation by Grace Through Faith, Dr. Cairns will show how God deals with every sinner to bring lost souls to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with the message for today, here is Dr. Cairns.
Joshua chapter 2 and verse 1. Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. They came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan, unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were led down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the man answered her, Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned. And afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head. if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, According unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this very familiar reading from his own precious word for his name's sake. When John Bunyan wrote or decided to write his autobiography, he looked for a title. And as he thought of his life, the kind of man that he had been, what he had done, how deeply he had sinned, how wickedly he had sworn and cursed, how foully he had lived. And then as he thought of how the Lord had reached him and saved him, made him a saint of God, he decided to call the story of his life Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. I think that had Rahab ever written the story of her life and testimony, she might well have chosen the same title. Certainly she had a very strong claim to being regarded as the chief of sinners. And yet just as certainly she was saved. She experienced the grace of God. Very few people in history have ever risen to such a height from such a depth as Rahab did. She began her days as a heathen Canaanite in Jericho. She ended her days as an esteemed adopted Jewess living among the people of God with a respected position in society, a marriage into the royal line of the tribe of Judah, and ultimately had the honor of being in the direct lineage of the coming Messiah. In a nutshell, that is the story of Rahab. In Rahab, then, we see the gospel in all its glorious scope, reaching even to this woman where she was. In Rahab, we see the gospel in all its glorious power, doing for her what no other power on earth could do. This then is the story of the grace of God that abounds to the chief of sinners. And I want us to think of it very, very simply and in a most straightforward manner today as we look at Rahab and consider salvation by grace, through faith. Because the New Testament adds that last element, we can see the grace of God very clearly in this woman. But the interpretation in the New Testament is adamant that that grace was received through the exercise of faith. There are three views of Rahab that we must consider. Let me give them to you, just in case I don't get all the way through. That's not very normal, as you know here. But just in case, let me show you what we want to consider about this woman. The first view we have of Rahab is of Rahab under condemnation. Then the second view we have of Rahab is of her under conviction. There's a wonderful work taking place in this woman's heart as she is revealed to us by the Spirit of God in Joshua chapter 2. She's under conviction. And then the last view and the abiding view we have of Rahab is of her under the covenant of God. Rahab under condemnation, Rahab under conviction, and Rahab under the bond of the covenant. Let's think of her first as she appears in this passage of Scripture. Rahab under condemnation. She lives, we are told, in a house in the double wall of Jericho. She lives in a house that is notorious not only for its position, but for its wickedness. For her house was so obviously known as a house of ill repute that those like these two spies who had but entered into the city knew that it was the house of a harlot. It was a house known for its wickedness. It was a house in a city of great reputation among men, and yet in a city that was clearly cursed by God, marked for judgment, and soon to fall. Now, when you think of Rahab in those terms, you will find in her a picture of every sinner. You find Rahab exactly where you find every sinner in a state of nature. First of all, Rahab was undeniably a guilty sinner. When you read this story, especially with the talk of spies coming in and with the interrogation of the officers of the king of Jericho and her subterfuge, her misleading of the spies, the story may take on something of the aura of a romance. You may think of her of something, or like something as a Matahari. There's a mystique and a romance about this woman. But it's altogether misplaced. There is nothing romantic about Rahab. Rahab lived in the gutter. Rahab was a woman who had fallen as low as womanhood can fall. Rahab must have brought shame to her mother if her mother ever had any decency within her. Even in a heathen society, Rahab was earmarked as a woman of particularly low morals. She sold her body for filthy lucre. She sold herself without regard to reputation, without regard to family, friends, or personal dignity. She sold herself for lust and for lucre. She was an immoral woman. Now, in this day of loose morality, in this day when people think little of the marriage bond, in this day when people think that there's nothing unique about marriage, and therefore they can live with whomsoever they choose, whensoever they choose, for whatsoever reason they may choose, Rahab's sin may not appear to be anything so terrible after all. But my friend, that is a wrong judgment. That is merely to say that we're living in a society that has bred harlots by the million, though they don't call themselves that anymore. We're living in a society that has dragged down the common level to the level of Rahab. Far from excusing Rahab, it merely incriminates far more people in her sin. Rahab was undeniably a vile, filthy wretched, guilty sinner. She was a heathen by birth, a heathen by upbringing, and to top it all, she was willfully, wickedly given to sin. Now, as I've said, millions have sunk as low as Rahab. Millions of others pride themselves that they haven't sunk as low as Rahab. They may not in that one particular instance. But nonetheless, without Jesus Christ, they're guilty sinners.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.